Is Linda still with us?
Who?
Linda Savage.
Yes, but she spends the summer down at Oceanside.
Oh, that's what she did. Okay. I was wondering because he hadn't been here for a couple of months.
Yeah. I don't know what it was last month. There was something else last month. I don't remember what it was, but they were out of town for something.
Since she was on vacation.
That's right. She still is.
She's still on vacation. Great.
I will call this meeting to order at 4 o'clock. And it looks to me as if we have quorum. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Where my grade is today, and there are no public comments here, so we'll go right into the consent agenda. And that's approval of the draft minutes and election of officers. Those are the minutes for.
Now, the minutes for the May 9th meeting are amended.
May 19th, I'm sorry. Okay.
For May 9th and.
May 9th and June 17th.
So, the May 9th, I'll point out to you what the amendment was. On the motion to move to fund the remaining visual and performing arts grants as requested by each applicant, we had to amend them to show that. Commissioner Garcia recused herself from that vote.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Want to make sure that was
thank you.
In the minutes.
It's a motion to approve the amended minutes of the meeting of May 9th and the minutes of meeting on June 17th.
I make a motion we accept the minutes.
Seconded. And all those in favor?
Aye.
And then the second thing on the consent agenda. Is the election of officers. Does Nick Cataldo has now resigned, and he was the vice chair. So we need to elect a vice chair for the commission. Is there a nomination?
You know what, Dottie, hold on 1 second, please. Actually, that election of officers should not have been in the consent calendar. So we need a commissioner to pull that item from the consent calendar for discussion.
All right. Is there someone who will pull that item from the consent agenda so that we can move it? And is there a second? Oh, he just had, we've had one person do it. Okay, so it's been pulled by Commissioner Perez. Now, we need to have a nomination for vice chair for the commission.
I'd like to nominate Rick.
I don't know that was.
Is there a second?
I second.
Rick Moss has been nominated as vice chair of the commission. Are there other nominations?
Well, he said I wasn't doing anything.
Okay. all those in favor of approving that.
Is the nominee? Would Rick? Rick has to accept that nomination.
Oh, did you accept? He nodded.
I'll accept the nomination.
Okay.
Okay.
You said it.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. There are nominations. All those in favor of Rick Moss being elected vice chair for the Arts and Historical Preservation Commission, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations.
All right, it's unanimous.
In the staff report, the status of the Visual and Performing Arts Grants Awards.
Would you like me to expand on that?
Yes.
I saw the meeting on TV.
So as we all know, it's been kind of a up and down road, but we did get the resolution, signed resolution back from the mayor's office last week. The letters have been sent out and communication has been sent out by email to all the recipients. The recipients have until July 24th to come in and sign the agreements. Once those agreements are all signed, then we'll send those to the city manager's office for her signature, and then they'll go over to the Department of Finance to distribute the funds. So
no, it's my understanding that Finance has to issue the checks by August 8th. Is that right?
If not, we'll have to do a carryover.
We can.
Yeah, we can carry those funds over into the next year. And because they've been, the action is taken in this year, and it's basically like an expenditure in this year, then that would be justification to carry it over to the next budget year. But the goal is to try and make all of the transactions and expenditures prior to the end of this month.
I was surprised that in the letters that went to them, they were not notified of how much they were being granted. I was just hoping they'll assume that.
That will be on their grant contract.
In their contract?
That amount should be in their grant contract. I'll check and see.
I don't think it was. I mean, maybe I just read that quick, but I didn't see it in the contract. Because that's what I thought, too. I thought, okay, it's not in the letter. It's in the contract. I didn't see it.
Okay, if that's the case, then we'll need to make sure that that's stated.
So that was good news.
That was good news. That was very good news. It was long, hard.
Well,
good
now,
news, so.
Now there won't be somebody out there, a source, telling them, we need one more signature. I don't know what was that. Some craziness going on, telling everybody, we need one more signature. Share. Getting all the ruckus going, but it's good. As long as they got everything approved.
Yes, and so I wanted to... Well, I'll get down to agenda item request before I talk about that. But I did notice in the past on the visual and performing arts grants, there's been an interim evaluation or a report, interim report in February or so. And that's in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I never noticed it was in the contract before, but we did it. So at some point when we get down to agenda item requests, we'll talk about what might be in that report and... something else about it.
Before we go to that next item, I've got some questions on this one. Okay, now we're done with last year. I mean, now we're talking about 2021. Now, did they allocate any money for us for that time period first?
$60,000.
$60,000.
We also are going to need to revisit that application. We're going to need to revisit the qualifications. We need to revisit the program as a whole, put some recommendations together to take back to council, because it is somewhat vague in what the expectations are of the recipients, what the requirements are to qualify for the grant. There was a lot of discussion on the council related to matching funds and, you know, how much... What's that match? Identifying, because I know that on the application it asks for the organizational budget and then the amount asked for. I think we need to get a little bit more specific and ask for things like specific project budgets so that we're not looking. I think some of the concern on the council's end is that we're giving them money not just for a specific program but to really... support their entire organization, when really the grant shouldn't be for that. The grant should be for a project.
That budget chart does exactly that. It says how much will this, whatever, how much will supplies cost? How much of that are you asking for from the grant? How much are you, that, which means, of course, that your organization that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we do need to look at, we definitely need to look at matching, because what one of the council persons says is matching, what he's thinking about when he talks about matching is not what some other people think is
and
matching.
We
need to define that.
Are we going to accept in-kind service toward the grant? You know, is it just dollar for dollar? Is it just cash input on their side? Or is it the value? Like, you know, with a lot of our programs through the county, we have volunteer we have volunteer workers that come in, and the county credits us X amount of dollars per volunteer hour. So those are in-kind contributions. So those are the kind of things that I think we just really need to clarify, so it's really cut and dry in black and white, and then we don't end up having the types of discussions like we had this year. It got a little bit ugly, and thankfully I think we can avoid a lot of that.
When we talk about agenda items, and I started a list there, that, I mean, it's not just those that I mentioned, but that we really need to zero in on the application itself.
If I can add to that also, if we can find a plan on how to advertise this better, because a lot of people didn't know about the grants out there, so that would be one of my focuses maybe for the future, if we can promote it better.
Right, and I think, again, going back to the timeline that we were handcuffed by, we didn't have a lot of time to really get it out there, so we relied on historical recipients to make sure we got that word out. And there's a couple that were new recipients. Acoma Unity Center is a new recipient. So there's some, you know, we did get to some people, but you're right. It's not, that's an advertisement that should go out a few months prior to the application deadline, as opposed to a few weeks before the application deadline. One thing that I will say is, you know, with 60,000 is going to be, there's going to be a lot more difficult decisions that that you guys are going to have to make in the upcoming year, you know, when as far as amounts to award. I think we need to be careful not to, we need to identify just a handful of recipients that we feel are going to be the most productive and give the most community benefit, and fund those in an amount that is going to make a difference, because taking $60,000 and breaking it up between 30 different it really is going to not make a noticeable difference.
One of the things that some organizations do is, after a great deal of discussion, obviously, they set the priorities. What priorities, what's important to have arts organizations do in this community in this particular time?
Mm-hmm.
What's the high priority, so that we can eliminate a lot at that point? We can narrow it.
And that's something that we should work on as a commission, and set priorities that align with the goals and objectives of this, that have been set by the mayor and city council. So establish a priority ranking, priority criteria, and take that to council for approval. Then when you guys make decisions based on that prioritization, it's in line, it's what the council is expecting to see when it gets to them, as opposed to, you know, kind of a opening a book that they there's no cover on, so to speak. So those are things that we can definitely work on, and we probably have to start working on them sooner rather than later, so we can get this all rolling.
Are those goals stated somewhere, like the mayor's state of the city address, or is it council?
It's actually, I believe, the mayor's goals and or the city's goals and objectives established by the mayor and city council are available on the website. But we can also it is in your folders that.
It's in your folders as well.
Okay.
So that binder that was given out.
Yes.
To,
right.
So if you look in there, all of the goals and objectives, the operating paradigm,
mm-hmm.
All of that stuff will be in there. So we can look at it. We'll have to kind of make some determinations as to how and what arts and performing arts, visual arts, how they align with certain, which goals they align with, and how we prioritize those.
One more question.
I have another question. Again, you know, because, like I said, I'm new here, and I really, everything we talked about this year was grants. Now I'd like to know, this $60,000 is for grants. What about other projects that we decide to do? We get funding for that, or we have to...
Well, any other project that you guys are interested in recommending,
okay,
we would have to put together a scope of work for that project, a budget for that project, and present that to council for approval.
Okay. That would
and those types of things would have to include... things such as the scope of work. So what's the project going to entail? Who's going to do the work? And how are we going to fund that? Where is it going to be fully funded by, you know, is the recommendation going to be to fully fund the project through maybe the cultural development fee fund? Or is it going to be 50% funded and then it's going to take, you know, 50% contribution from a nonprofit or from a private entity, those types of things. Again, it's up to you guys to put it all together. And if you guys have something that you feel strongly enough about that you feel it should be fully funded by the city through the cultural development fee fund, then by all means we can make that presentation and move forward from that in that direction.
I have a question. So the one event that you had at the Simon Wells Stadium, the art walk and
art festival.
Who did that? Who was responsible for all that? Like all the funds? Where did all the money come from for that?
That was general fund budgeted last year. This year, council has approved in the budget to fund that activity in particular out of the cultural development fee fund, as opposed to impacting our general fund budget. They approved to fund all of our special events out of the cultural development fee fund. So that's the Arts Fest, Veterans Day, Cinco de Mayo, Winter Wonderland. So all of those community events are now not impacting the general fund, but coming from that developer impact fee.
And that's really, I think we can be thankful that decision was made to use that money that's in that restricted account, which has not been available to us before. At the very beginning of the Arts Fest, community development was the initiator, that department. And there was money then that came out of the Arts Commission's allocation. So money came out of that for the first couple of years. But then there was no money. And so then from that point on, it was general fund, totally community development, mm-hmm. and community development and general fund, yeah. And so it's a really good decision to have all those events all covered.
But like, say if like we want a certain project funded, I mean, we end up getting put in subcommittee because everybody, oh, it's a good idea, but then a subcommittee. So how are they going to come together as all of us to say, okay, this where the money can go to versus somebody getting put in the subcommittee? I mean, it's supposed to be a whole...
This committee has to recommend it. Anything that we come up
with. So what will happen with...
This commission has to recommend to the council what we come up with. And so I think in terms of a plan for a project, it has to be pretty well fleshed out before it goes to the council.
No, like my thing is, okay, when we made a recommendation for the murals or the utility boxes,
okay,
what happened? We got put in a subcommittee. So it's like, how can, it's always going to, like, if we come up with another plan, oh, how about we use so much, this much money for this? Okay, well, who's going to be subcommittee? I mean, is it going to always be, who's going to be subcommittee?
We have to be careful about that. And so when we come up with a plan, when there is a subcommittee that has met and come up with some of the legwork, it has to be pretty specific in terms of what we're going to do before we recommend taking it to the council. And that one isn't specific enough yet. We're going to talk about that. That's not specific enough yet.
So with the subcommittee, what should happen is the subcommittee does the more focused and more detailed work on it and brings a reports back to the full commission on what their findings are, what the subcommittee recommendation is. And then that's when that'll go on the agenda, and then the entire commission will vote on that and say either yes or no. This is something that as a full commission we support, or as a full commission it doesn't get majority support. But the work of the subcommittee is to really collect the information that needs to be collected, being able to, a portion of you guys go out without violating the Brown Act and look into some of these things so that you can come back collectively as a subcommittee and say, this is what we found, this is what the subcommittee feels should be done, this is how the subcommittee feels that it should be funded. Then it gets put on the agenda, and it's discussed between amongst the entire board as a whole, and then the entire board votes on it, and that's when the decision is ultimately made as to whether or not it goes forward as a recommendation to the council.
So it does, I mean, it seems, I think, sometimes when you're working on something, as if we're never going to get this done. It just takes so long, but that's just the way it is.
No, I understand that everything is time process, but like, for instance, that ordinance that hasn't went through many years ago, and then we try to bring it back again, and it hasn't even been submitted to no one, so it's just sitting somewhere.
It's not just sitting, it's on the agenda.
That's what I'm saying.
It's right there on the agenda. It's not just sitting.
Well, it took a while. I mean, it should have been submitted like...
That's right. It does take a while. And I think that Mario was correct when he said we've just been focused on those grants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have, because we were on the tightest timeline that we've ever been on to get those grants to the council, get those recommendations to the council. That was the tightest timeline we've ever had. And so, yes, we were pushing on that one and very focused on that. And if we want to have meetings that last forever and ever, then we can spend more time. But we, you know, people like to leave by a certain time. But, yeah, that's just the way it works. Because we are an advisory commission. It can take recommendations to the council. And then the council has to make the decision about yes, no, funding, yes, no, all those. I mean, that's the council's role. And so that's why things take a lot of time.
As I recall, when we started, we worked kicking around a number of different kinds of proposal ideas before the grant thing imposed itself, and then we stopped. So now we can get back to doing that, because I know you really were interested in having an arts program involving the schools and doing the boxes and everything, and we just didn't get back to detailing it, but we can get back to it now. I think that's great.
Yeah, and then I'm hearing the history of the Sikakomi Park. I'm like, why would that mean? I don't know. How like people don't understand, and then this gets painted. I understand about not having permits and stuff, but the fact is, it was like giving people hope or meditate. I mean, I was just looking at all these, and I'm like, wow. You know, I didn't even know there was actually a story behind it until starting to see them share it. And I'm like, I didn't know. I wish I would have got a chance. I just seen crazy colors. I'm like, okay, whatever. Anyway, they stopped going because it's been going downhill. But after seeing actually what was inside,
was
I was like, wow.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, I didn't know. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So all I do is share them.
All right, well, let's, Audrey, any other comments on the grant awards, and we'll put something on next month's agenda in terms of very specifics. But any other comments, things that you feel we need to that we need to worry about on that? Okay, status of the mural photos. Here we go, darling. We had said at the last meeting we have pictures. And probably not of everything that's in the city. We have pictures from Lazelle, we have pictures from Mario. I'm not sure who else did pictures. I haven't done my pictures, and I know where I should have taken some pictures. But we really need addresses, because, and as I look through these, and I think we might want to do that. If you remember, last month, Mr. Huntley from Community Development is here. And as he looked at these, he said, you know, one of the things we have to really look at is it an ad or is it a mural? And so as you look through some of these, it's pretty obvious that some of them are ads. Although they're nice murals, but they're ads for that particular business. And so we have to be careful of that. Because that would be...
Well, once we get the pictures and we've got their locations, then as a group, we can decide which are actually murals and which are advertising.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's the way I see it.
So, did you have any...
Well, let me tell you, those pictures were pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I emailed Lisa if she could get me a better copy so I could... I have all the locations, you know, but I just, like I told you guys at the last meeting, I know where they're all at, but I was going to try to get a decent picture and then write it down in there, and so then by this meeting, hopefully give you location. But we haven't got been able to get to it, but I still want to work on it. Like I said, the photos I took are a lot different than these. But anyway, hopefully your printer gets fixed and you can resend me one copy for the next meeting. Okay. And on that one, I'll give you locations of where all the ones that I submitted are at.
No, I don't.
Or close to it so you can find them.
So can we talk for a minute then on, and this fits right back to what Darlene has brought up. Can we talk for a minute about what our focus is on why are we taking pictures of murals around the city? Why are we concerned about the addresses? Why are we concerned about whether it's an ad or a mural? What is our focus on doing this?
I think that's what I asked last week. what's the end thing on this? Are we going to make like some kind of map that people can come and go see them if they're interested? Or I mean, I asked that same question. What's the end goal on these murals? You know,
see when I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Other than taking pictures, we need to have, in my opinion, a focus of why we're doing it. You know, I kept referring back to that little red book you guys have.
Yeah.
And I told people when I asked them about the murals, I say, look, I think what we're trying to do is create something like they did in 76. They created a booklet that if you wanted to know something about a historical building that was there, you could go and find it. And I think that's what we're trying to do with the murals. I mean, that's what I've been telling people when I ask questions about them. Okay? So everybody says, well, what do you want them for?
No, I agree.
And that's what I've been using. So I was hoping or thinking if that's our end goal, you know, to create something where anybody from an art class or from the schools, they want to go show the kids a certain mural that relates to something they're studying, that they have it, you know, and they can contact us for a copy of a pamphlet that we have so they can go and look for these things.
Well, that
I
was
mean, that's the only thing I could think of.
That was part of it, but I think we started talking about historical preservation and the state of the murals around the city and whether or not A, they deserve to be restored if we could find out more information about them. And that was one of the projects we started talking about in addition to the wrapping the utility boxes. So that's how that mural, this whole idea about the murals began. So yes, it was to get an inventory of where the murals were in the districts that we represent. And then trying to find out whether they were like worth restoring and how could we do that as a commission. That's where we were going with that.
Yeah.
So all of us were to take photos of them. Some of us did and some of us didn't.
I know I did, but I didn't submit it to me. Uh-huh. I had my life pictures. But I mean, and my thing is, I'm like, okay, let's see if some of them are going to get painted over now. Like I said, because just following the Sacomi Park thing, because I don't know all the details of it, but. So it's like, matter of fact, I went by one of the pictures I did take, and what do you know? It's all painted up. Yeah. And I mean, it's the one that they made the palm trees, you know, the gentleman with the McDonald palm trees. I don't know. It was on D Street. Mm-hmm. And I was one of them that I submitted, and I was like, okay. So we actually went by accident. I'm like, oh, what do you know? It's painted over, but that's cool.
Was it on city property or was it on private property?
I think it was private property. But it was, I mean, it was a building, but I know it was vacant, and I know it had, like, some graffiti in it, which I know I took that on the picture, but it wasn't, like, damaged. Like, they probably could have maybe, like, touched it up. And it was on D Street, D, and, oh, yeah, I don't want to look at my phone right now. It was, like, D and 10, I think, or wait, it was E. I know we went down E, and then I think on 10th Street. And it had, like palm trees, and then, And I mean, like I said, I want to go back to see maybe somebody bought it. I don't know, because I know it was vacant, and I know there was some other businesses inside. It was all gated, but that wall was facing the street. So I mean, I happened to go and I looked back. I was like, wait a minute, and I see it.
If it's a city-owned property and there's graffiti on a mural, unless there's some sort of agreement, like with Second Lake, the agreement with Generation Now was that they would cover up any graffiti, touch up the murals, and have the artist reach out to the artist that did the mural. If they couldn't get in touch with that artist, then they had somebody that would go out and touch them up. But it was made clear with Generation Now that if they didn't uphold that end of it, then the city was going to paint over them, and that's really what happened, was there was graffiti
and
everywhere.
I think, Jim, I brought up at one of those places, the one over, it's in your ward, that church that's on the corner of...
Lutheran?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I said they have a program where they get young people, and they get them to paint murals on walls that they get permission, rather than have the kids go out and... You know, just do it anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And groups like that is what I thought. If we have murals that we feel that might, you know, need retouching, mm-hmm. get a hold of it. Like you said, the same kind of different, I don't know if it's the same group, but they are groups out there that have these kids that are working with kids, and they,
yeah.
we could get them and say, hey, we have a mural on such and such a corner that we can't find who, you know, it's been there forever, who it belongs to, and but it's graffitied a little bit, can you go and touch it up? That kind of.
And
yeah,
the thing
awesome.
Is there, if it's on private property, I think we need to find out then. If it's on private property and it's not in good shape, it's peeling.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a big thing.
Then we probably need the permission of that property owner for anybody to go out and do anything on it, unless there's a code violation. And that, again, would take time to
yeah,
make sure
the code
violation
doesn't give us the right to go on and take action until it's gotten to, I
yeah.
think it's...
And then
ACT.
If it's on public...
So we don't pursue those. So we just go after the ones that are on city property.
Or the ones that we know who the owners are.
But this is a proposal that we could, as a commission, do. This is what we want to do. We can say, this is our proposal. This is what we want to do. Or we can say that we want to do the wrap boxes, the utility boxes. We can write those up and then get all the details.
And then once, again, just
in that group that
bit.
You're talking about,
yeah,
write them into...
Yeah, what I was thinking of, like I said earlier, once we have the inventory of the murals, as many as we can get, then as a commission, we can decide which are advertising and which are murals.
Mm-hmm.
And then concentrate on the murals, and then if for some reason, when we see one that's like, it's questionable, half mural, half advertising, we can discuss that and say, okay, we can go back to those at the end and say, okay, we still have some to fix, and then we can contact the owner and that kind of thing. But, you know, we got to start somewhere.
So
let's start at the easiest point.
So do I hear a motion that you're making that the commission pursue a murals project first?
Yeah.
I'm just...
Well, isn't that, I think, a mural
most of them that we have...
Yeah.
You know, as
here,
a project.
Most of them that we have pictures of, at least I'm not sure on yours, Mark.
Yeah, I have pictures of everything in here.
Most of these are on private property.
Yes.
And so we have to deal differently with private property than we do with city property. And so that is an issue. And maybe that is a decision that needs to be made. But I think there are going to be a lot more murals that we might want people to see that are on private property than on city property. And so at the point that we get these pictures and we get addresses on these pictures, and in fact, once we have that, some of us can drive around and look at them ourselves. Once we get those, then we can move on, because then we can decide.
Yeah,
are they private property? Are they city property? What specifically are we going to go for here?
Yeah. I agree with you, wholeheartedly. That's the road we got to take.
And mm-hmm. when you talk about restoration, and yes, thank goodness there are some groups that are willing to do that. So that's one possibility. There is often a cost to restoration, and that's something that we have to take into consideration.
So we're in the process of gathering photos and addresses. I think what needs to be done is there needs to be a deadline set that at this point in time we're done taking pictures.
Yes.
Or this could go on forever.
Right.
So we complete that process, identify the addresses. Then the next step would be to identify which of the murals are on private property and which are on city-owned, county-owned, state-owned property and address. I think it's easiest for us to address the city-owned murals first and go about this in a systematic fashion. That, like you said, the easiest ones for us to address are going to be on city property. We can work with possibly that group of students to work with the city to touch up all of the city murals, and then moving forward, we go to the county and the state, try to get them to touch up their murals. And I think we move on to the private side and using the resources that we've used to redo all of the city murals, we can reach out to these private parties and say, your mural is in bad shape, needs to be touched up. There's an organization here that does it, and this is how they do it. If you buy the materials, they provide the labor, something like that. But then at least we know what the process is and how we go about offering something to these private property owners that have murals other than just a citation from, from our code enforcement saying either touch it up or we're going to start fining you.
Right. Is there, at this point, is there a motion for a deadline for the pictures of murals?
Since that just came up, why don't we not give, let's table that item for next month, and let's, the rest of us, let's try to get out in there and talk to your councilman, talk to whoever, and see if they know. I know they did a lot of politicking out there, so they should have seen a lot of murals. And try to find out where there's some in your area. Okay.
But I have a more fundamental question. Are we saying this is the project that we want to start with? As a commission,
is there another,
and there's the utility box?
Well, I thought we were going with two.
We may. I'm just asking a question.
That's what we started with. That's very
okay.
Can we handle
two?
I thought we had talked about murals and the box.
Take on one?
Well, this project, maybe I'm wrong. I think of the two of them. This project is kind of much more, seems to be much more long-range project at this point because there are a whole lot of factors here. So it is possible maybe to have this going on long range and working with the other one in a tighter timeline. So you didn't want to do a deadline for the pictures for next month maybe, although that would be fine. Is there a deadline that works for people? I think I've taken a lot of pictures. I don't know if there are more you were going to take. You've taken lots of pictures, Mario.
Yeah, but I should have any pictures I'm going to take. They should be by the next meeting, and that's it.
Yeah.
I would say a month. Give them a month, maybe.
So is there a motion to set the deadline at August, whatever that is, our next month's meeting?
19th. August 19th.
And 19th?
Yeah.
Is there a motion to that effect? Okay.
I agree.
To set the
deadline of the murals, the picture of the murals, by August 19th.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
No second.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It's unanimous. All right. Okay, so by August 19th, we will have pictures and addresses, right? Because when you take the picture, just write down the address. Okay, now, let's move on to... the meeting of the State Historical Resources Commission. And, Jim, you've been in touch with people in Sacramento.
Mr. Correa? Yes, I have. and... He had wanted to, I probably talked to him about a month and a half ago, and he had asked that we reconnect this month to start the planning process for their upcoming meeting. He didn't want to start the planning process too far ahead of time. So I will be getting back in touch with Mr. Correa, but one of the things I think that we need to discuss is potential locations for the meeting, as well as potential historical sites to offer them a tour of the historical sites in the San Bernardino area.
What I gave you, and this is just, it's not done, it's not finished, but it's actual historic sites in San Bernardino, and there may be more, but this is what I have. And some of those are on the National Register, a few of them. Some of them are designated, and this came from Nick, some of them are designated point of interest, which I'm not sure I know what that means, Rick, what a point of interest is.
It's It's a pretty loose term. It's nothing really official about it. It's not like it's a California state landmark or anything. It's just it's historical point of interest, but that's about all you can say about it.
Okay, and the only, I think the only
the designation, not the property.
Find that was a California state landmark was the Arrowhead. There may be more, but that's the only one he had on his list. What I thought we might want to do is just take a look at that. You might want to actually look at those sites and see, are those, would those work in a very brief tour?
Yeah.
Obviously not all of these.
The way it works, there's a usually a two-day workshop, I mean two-day program. Thursday, the commission meets, and that's the day that a tour, if a historical tour was going to be planned, that it would take place on that Thursday or the day before the Friday hearing. And it could be something as simple as touring the California Theater. We know that many members of the commission were on the board when it was nominated and approved, but we've never been inside. So that's a great tour. Someone is there to talk about that, or a historic house. Sometimes a small reception is given in the afternoon at in a historical house or building, and you know, a little wine and cheese given hosted by the local historical society.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be a long drawn out tour, because the commission doesn't have a lot of time for it, and they're worn out. And one or two places usually fits the bill, and everybody's happy, and they go back to their rooms and get ready for the hearing the next day.
So we need to decide on, I mean, Jim, when you talk to the person in Sacramento, what they need fairly soon is a meeting place. Is that right? I mean, is that the highest priority right now?
Right.
And there are several. California Theater has what they call the California Room, which is upstairs, and it's a very, really nice place to meet. That's one possibility. Somebody mentioned Garcia Center. That's a possibility. Sturgis, I don't know what the status of Sturgis is. The school district has taken over Sturgis. Is that right? Is that official now?
I'm not sure if that's official yet or not.
Okay. I think I heard that had happened, and still, it still might be available, and there is, but I don't know what the status of those rooms are. They've just been used for a variety of things upstairs, and I'm not sure they're really nice.
A room like this is fine.
Yeah.
For the hearing.
Right.
It doesn't have to be fancy. We've met in City Hall chambers before. We've met in all kinds of locations and rooms, and it just has to be audio friendly.
Yeah, we might be able to do it at, let me talk to the city manager's office. You know, we're converting the auditorium at Feldheim to hold the council meetings, so that might be a good location,
mm-hmm.
especially since the California Room just upstairs at Feldheim holds all of the historical.
And I didn't put the California Room in here, but that's a great place.
It's easy to get to.
Yeah.
Easy to get to, good parking.
Sometimes the public will attend.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the interest, the local interest, we do have visitors. So a room like this set up is like right now would be perfect. I forget there's like, I don't know how many commissioners. I forget.
Oh, okay.
It's also broadcast on CalSPAN, is that the California's network?
Okay.
So they do set up to broadcast live.
So this could be a good spot.
This could be.
The library would really work.
Library would work. Those
well,
so
enough seating there for.
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay, so those are some.
So establish location, and then we need to discuss. Obviously, we can't if they want to go on a quick tour of the historical sites. I think we probably need to prioritize these and see what you guys feel most.
We might look at the National Register, because
mm-hmm.
they're all the ones that are on the National Register are all pretty local. I mean,
yeah.
they're easy to get to. The San Fe Depot, the Heritage Building,
mm-hmm.
the
depot would be great.
Theater,
yeah.
And the courthouse and the post office are all National Register.
Right.
And they're all close.
They love that.
Some of the others are neat places, but those are a brief tour.
That would be a great tour.
They come to the spooky place. I seen an advertisement, like a article about the Pioneer Society about being spooky or creepy,
really?
Or with ghosts. I don't know where I found that.
You should take that tour.
Yeah, that would be. They said that some people feel presence there. Some people say that. Yeah,
are you kidding?
And if I can add to this, I know that Dr. Garcia, you put SVHS mural. That's San Bernardino High School is also a good place to go,
mm-hmm.
since, I mean, we are Cardinal City, the only high school in the nation to be a legal chartered city under the state of California. And we have the original charter to show them. We have the WPA mural.
Mm-hmm.
We have murals from the 1930s that some of the artist works graduated from San Bernardino,
right.
and are at the Smithsonian. So
I'm getting off point, so I'm going to get back on this. But looking at these WPA projects here, I think these are great nominations, possible nominations for the Register.
I know.
So I want to get back to that later.
Okay.
So I'm going to shut up.
Okay. That's good.
We'll get to that in a second. But as far as logistics for the commission, that's all it really needs, and
mm-hmm.
They'd be happy with that.
So that just in the downtown
mm-hmm.
area, I mean, pretty much. You know, that would be. We definitely need to go out to Santa Fe Depot because there's a historical museum.
And there's a railroad
yeah.
museum.
Yeah.
Boy, I remember that place was so bad.
But the rest of them are downtown.
And all
so
before they
that
restored
would, that. Would work.
And it has, of course, you know, renowned architects that worked on that.
Mm-hmm.
Build it,
yeah.
Design it, so that'd be great.
Okay, anything else we need to talk about at this point? Is that about, I mean, we need to talk about the meeting place. We need to talk about possible, some ideas for tour, and we can finalize those later. And those are pretty much, except for the depot, that's a walking tour,
mm-hmm.
pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not going to get to go in the Heritage Building, probably.
No.
I mean, you know.
A lot of these doors, they already have tours you can do. Like the Santa Fe Depot, you know.
Well, they have somebody doing
they
it.
They have
yeah.
people there that
yeah.
you can go in at any time, and they're open and do the tours.
And
is that what we're talking about? Or?
No, usually it's a special thing
yeah,
that's
a
set
special
up.
Special private tour.
Yes.
Yeah, then we'd have to check
it. We probably
right.
need to make contact. With the Historical and Pioneer, San Bernardino Historic
mm-hmm.
Pioneer Society, because we really need to include them in this.
Definitely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe if they're working hard, maybe they'll get a resolution or something.
Right, yeah.
Because their resolutions are given.
There is a, of course, that's not quite walking distance, but there is a historic house there that they have.
Well, these are great. Absolutely.
Right.
I can get into the Heritage Building, maybe, but it's so bad of, like, electricity. It's really bad, but I know the owner personally, so I mean he has the keys. He designed paperwork, so I can get in there.
So is there anything else on this right now? We will come back to it, but is there anything right now in terms of this? Do we need I'm not sure there is. I mean, these are all pretty impressive.
Yeah.
There's definitely more on this list than we can see and than we can take
yeah.
them. So I mean,
know.
These are the top.
I know it's just amazing.
Yeah.
When you start thinking about it, there's a lot there. St. Bernardine Church isn't too far away. 1910. I did not know that until I found the article about them celebrating their 105th anniversary. really surprised. Okay. So is there anything else on that agenda item, the meeting of the Historical Resources Commission, that we need to take care of at this point? And so keep looking at the list, and if you have any other feelings about where the tour could be, as long as it's not going to take a long time, let's talk about that next time. All right, the utility box artwork. We have had, there have been two subcommittee meetings, and those reports have come to the commission. in terms of pretty much cost and what else? We talked about cost. What else have we talked about?
We needed to have the art acquisition policy.
Yeah, that one. There you go.
Right.
That's right.
That's what we're waiting for. That's just basically what we're waiting
there
for.
There you go. Yeah, because we have two things, I think, that we're waiting for. One is the acquisition policy, but the other one is the list of city-owned
utility boxes. That's right.
And community development was supposed to get that. But see, I don't know exactly where they're going to get it to Jim, since he is the staff person for us, or were they going to get it back to you, because you talked to her.
Yes.
I mean, where was
who did you talk to?
Chantel.
Okay, I'll check with Chantel. Uh-huh. It should come back to me, and then it should be distributed to you guys through us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we need that list of city-owned utility boxes.
Some are hard to figure out which or city-owned property. The one from San Bernardino High School, you can't tell.
What?
If it's city-owned.
Oh, well, but if you get the list from her, you'll know then. Given the city's budget problems, we need to be very specific about who pays for what and what we're expecting. If we take this to city council, what we're expecting from the city council. One of the things, Jim, do you want to talk about the possibility that we talked about starting with
about a specific
list and then having the schools separating the two somehow?
Well, obviously we can't. I mean, when we get the list of utility boxes that are city owned, it's going to be enormous. I think probably a good first step would be to identify a specific area in the city to implement the first stage of the project or of the program. So when you look on our, I believe it's in our general plan, there's specific areas of the city like the downtown specific area, Vertimont areas. I think we need to pick one specific area and focus the project on that area. My suggestion would be the downtown area in this, what's defined as the downtown area on the city, like the city general plan. So start with utility box artwork within that area and don't go outside of that area. And if a school wants to do something specific at their particular school, then they could submit an application for that specific site. But for the project itself, and if the expectation is going to be that there's going to be city funding to support this, then we need to really narrow it down to a small one zone at a time and hit that zone. Then maybe we hit another zone after that, another zone after that. But I think if we try to just do the whole city at one time, it's going to be overwhelming.
And if we focused on an area like downtown, I think in the meetings that the subcommittees had, it's been mostly on cost. I mean, how much does it cost to do this when you do the wraparound versus when you just paint on it? But we never came up with a theme. Because if the word goes out to whoever we're going to have do this about what we wanted.
Well, actually, we did come up with the theme. We talked about making sure, like, putting the symbol, maybe the symbol of the city, the whole, or and then the
arrowhead.
Yeah, so we kind of did come up with a theme, just nothing so crazy and no, like, graffiti art, none of that, just basically that you could see, like, something maybe the Route 66 or something from past, present.
Embraced our history.
Yeah, so we did pretty much come up with the theme already.
And so if it were history, the theme of history, who would do the original
drawings, the original paintings.
Okay, so let me go, it's going to kind of go back to like the mural part. I know you're telling me about this. Okay, so like for Molly's wall, I talked to somebody and they said it was like $2,000 and they had like two muralists that would probably come in as also covering the UV, but we got to come up with a proposal. And that's what we're going to, me and Anastasia have to talk about. And we wanted to see to help with the cost, you know, because the owner, you figure the people come from all over to go to the McDonald Museum, and then he says they always go to like his restaurant to eat. So there's always that focus that come down. And so it's like that's going to bring, attract, you know, people from all different places, and that's also going to continue, that's going to also going to be part of that little thing with the murals, you know, it's like that's going to probably be on the map as well because that was focused and designed for that.
Yeah, it ties in.
Yeah, it will tie in.
Kind of suggestion is how this may work. Is it possible, since we want to open this opportunity up to artists, to put a call out to artists once we develop a proposal? And that while the commission can define whatever themes that would be on the boxes as we develop this proposal, that it would be up to the artists to then contact the schools and make the liaison with the schools and work out what schools they're going to work with. And that won't be our responsibility. We will have set up everything in terms of, since we will know what geographical area we're working in, how many boxes that might be, how much per box it's going to cost to paint it. We'll know all of that. Then we can determine what the budget would be as we put out this call for proposal and let the artists do the work and come up with the design.
Yeah, that's right.
And work with the schools to do that, and we just give the structure. So, and that way we put the call out, but that means we have to develop the proposal.
Right, and that's what I'm wondering, how do we do the proposal? Because the person said, put up the proposal together, right. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I understand it, but I don't quite get it.
We can do it.
Yeah.
We can do it. And then we put the call out for whatever artists are out there looking for an opportunity. And then they, you know, can get together with the schools and all that. And that forces them to collaborate. And we step
schools,
back.
Schools, business owners, whatever outreach they're going to do.
Exactly.
And then establish, so if we establish cost per box, then you guys probably need to talk about, you know, if there's, let's say in the downtown area, there's 50 utility boxes owned by the city, and we think that it's going to be somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500 per box, then, you know, it'll be up to you guys to decide, is that something that you would want the city to fund 100, you know, ask the city to fund 100%, or would there be city 50%, 50% funded by, you know, the sponsoring entity, not to exceed X amount of dollars. You know,
or whatever the stipend may be for the artist.
Mm-hmm.
So.
See, like I was thinking too, like for the schools, our thing is maybe leave it to the schools to come up with the design, but you know, if we can kind of just so we can be part of it and say, okay, I'm just going to throw out, here's $100. I'm just saying, you know, just so we can say we helped. Here's a box, you have permission for it, you know, but before you paint on it, give us what you're going to do to get it approved before you guys go and paint on it. I mean, that's what I'm just...
Oh, we have to be approved.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
But shouldn't we, as a commission, come up with some kind of things that we want on it?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to come up and tell these artists, okay, we want, like, the Severino icon to be on there.
Yeah.
Okay? The arrowhead. But, you know, and tell the artist, these are the items that we want on the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now you come up with a design that incorporates all these items.
Mm-hmm.
Or some
or
of them.
Minimum.
And
mm-hmm.
then,
yeah.
now
that
we have an idea of what these guys
right.
are going to be painting.
Right.
See, but
right.
if we don't tell them what we
no.
want,
they
then
won't.
They're not going to know what we want.
No,
we need a starting point.
Right.
What we want on these boxes. And as a commission, we got to come up, okay, do we want to talk about historical items like the arrowhead.
Yeah, we'll
and
have
we
to have a selection committee.
Yeah,
right.
things that
yeah.
originated in San Bernardino, like the McDonald's, you know, brothers, bakers. And see,
so,
those are the things that, the ideas that we've put forth for the boxes, and let the people, let the artists or whoever's going to do them, try to put a package together with those items on it and show it to us and say, yeah, that's what we want. Mm-hmm. And then give it to the artists. You know,
well,
to,
and the historical thing could, I mean, yeah, you're right, there could be a whole lot. I mean, you can list several possibilities, mm-hmm. all of which we have approved, but several possibilities. And then the artist could
put those things together for us and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, where we are right now with this is we have some possible costs of various ways of doing this. We need the list, and we need the proposal. Then we develop the proposal. We need the list, so then we'll know how many boxes we're talking about downtown. And then we do develop a proposal that goes out to the artists. So do you want the subcommittee to continue working on that in terms of what should be on these boxes while we're waiting for the list to find out how many boxes we have?
Because how many... Okay, one quick question. Now, we're talking about the same ramp for all boxes or different ones for different rock?
Not too many different ones, just...
Come up with maybe two or three designs,
yeah.
Something like that. Well, maybe that's what we need to work on.
Right,
we probably
you know?
Need to wait until we find out how many boxes there are, and then we would know whether we need different designs or we want the same design on all of them.
Would it really matter? Because if you have 50 boxes, okay, you can't have 50 designs.
No.
So if we come down with three or four designs, it doesn't matter how many boxes we have. We'll just move them around
right.
because the cost and all that's going to be determined
right.
on what you put on them,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how many there
exactly.
is. So that's what I mean, that's the
no,
way
you're
I
right.
look
you're
at
right.
it.
No.
Well, but we already determined it was about $800 each.
The cost is going
right.
to be determined on how many.
Yeah, but the design of
the
box is what
yeah,
I'm talking
artwork.
About. I'm not
you're
talking about
pay
yeah.
for the artwork.
I'm talking about the designs.
Right. Okay.
You can't have $800.
So the artwork, so the project is, we're conceiving it now. If I understand it, is the actual hands-on project will take place in the school, and they'll submit the design based on whatever themes we've come up with. And then that design is going to be produced by the people you talk to who can do the wrap, is that company?
Yeah.
Right.
They, yeah.
And so they'll do that.
You have artists in this community. I think involving the schools is important, but you have artists in this community. You have a San Bernardino Art Association. It's composed of several artists. You have other individual artists. You have the little gallery here that is working with artists. So there are a lot of artists in this community who might be interested in putting together some designs for the boxes. I mean, we also have the schools, but I think we need to realize that we do have other artists.
So perhaps what you designate a couple of boxes in close proximity to the school. Say there's a utility box on the corner in front of San Bernardino High School. Maybe you carve out that box for the high school arts program to do a design and
yes.
how they come up with that. As long as it contains the content that is specified by you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see that like that.
Yeah, and if we. For example, if we have 50 boxes, we have more than enough for students
we may not
getting funding for 50 boxes. That's what I'm looking at.
More than enough boxes.
The way they were talking, I don't know.
So
we have 25 boxes, we'll be lucky.
In Redlands, as you've checked on that one, in Redlands when they did the boxes, those were done with wraps, or were any of them done with direct painting on the boxes?
No.
They're all wraps.
Mm-hmm.
See, I want to set that. I like his idea, and that, but me thinking on my opinion, I want to say, why compare always to other, let's do a little different and straight hand on it, you know, like this rough go.
Just paint right
yeah.
on
the
box.
The thing with Redlands is the design is all the same, just the information in it is different. They have different pictures and different, you know, the history of whatever
mm-hmm.
the picture is, that's different. But all of the artwork is the same.
Like San Francisco, like up north, they have just like, say, a butterfly, or even LA. I went to LA and there was one that it was really just flowers around. And then, like, for instance, maybe it was if it's in an area where maybe, I don't know, the Buddhist people live more, maybe they can, like a Buddha, you know, instead of meditating, something like, just like that, little stuff like that. I mean, so it's just wherever it's going to be located, it's like, okay, well, this is.
So do you, this commission, want to give the subcommittee, ask the subcommittee to bring back to the full commission a tentative proposal and an idea of to whom will that who are we asking to do this? Are we going to put it out to artists? Are we so on and so forth? You want the subcommittee to come back with specifics on exactly what this is going to include?
Dorothy, I think we should each come out. I think by the next meeting, each one of us come up with something we think we should like to put on it, you know, and then have those lists available for the subcommittee and let them look at it and compare it to their list.
Yeah, we should each try to put
together
our own
proposal. You know, we get an idea of what the commission wants, and it helps them instead of them going the other way. See what
I'm
getting
at? I'll
make a motion that we come up with some ideas for these guys to work with
for the next meeting. Right. Is there a second?
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded to bring back ideas, actually to bring back some tentative proposals to the next meeting of the commission. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Okay. This is now time for announcements. Commission oral report. Do some of you have announcements that you'd like to make about something that's happening?
I would be interested if our commission could do this, since it's not local history but national history, and if some of our city leaders could do this, it would be pretty cool. I know that San Bernardino High School, the Cardinal City Museum, we're doing it, or I'm doing it. The Kennedy Presidential Library is doing a national hashtag JFK moonshot video, and you have to say, you know, to do a video on yourself and say, my moonshot is to, I don't know, go to college and earn a degree and blah blah blah, but it doesn't have to be about school. It could be on parks. On my moonshot for this community is to make better parks for whatever, you know. It could be the, you know, our city leaders doing something like that and posting it online, just as simple as that. You know, social media, powerful thing nowadays. So
it's not a contest. It's just Kennedy Library is just putting this out to communities to do whatever they consider a moonshot is.
Yes.
Is that it?
Okay. And I know that San Bernardino High School, we're doing it. I think it would be a really interesting thing, since it's going to be 50 years of that.
And what is the timeline on this?
There's some timeline.
What I'm getting at is that school starts in August, and that would be a good thing to publicize in schools. So is that, right now we're just doing reports, but where can we find information on this?
It's
online, good, Kennedy
yes.
Library? Okay, thank you. Anyone else have a report on anything that's going on other than survival?
Well, also, I don't know if it's possible, but Commissioner Ferreira and me, we tried and we succeeded at protecting some plaques that used to belong to the library downtown that were going to the trash can. And
which is where most plaques end up, by the way.
But, you know, that we, I think, can we work on something to present to the our councilman? Just to maybe do something like the mural pictures. Take pictures of historical things around the city and kind of, you know, create awareness of, we have this plaque for whatever reason to honor this person, you know. I know that a lot of the plaques go on the trash at the end of you know how many years, but that's a little disrespectful.
It's harsh. But I know we were waiting for the approval of the new art acquisition policy. There must be a deacquisition policy that rules that have to be followed before you throw something out or get rid of it. Maybe that's what needs to be looked at and who's responsible for that. It is awful. I mean, plaques are, after a while, nobody wants them, but still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is city property?
Yes. City property.
So there must be a deacquisition policy as well. No one's following.
So, Rick, would you disposition of memorial plaques and dedications?
It just depends on the organization. There's no standing rule. If you decide you don't have room to hold these plaques anymore and everybody they were given to are dead, you're not obligated to keep them necessarily, but there should be a process by which you divest yourself of them.
What kind of plaques are you talking about?
They were dedicated for the palm trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For
the process might.
You mentioned that before.
The process might be, even if the decision was to discard the LaProg, it might be take a picture of them. That's someplace.
Yes, at least.
So I think. Yeah.
So we need to. Yeah.
Creating an inventory of what we have, just like we're trying to do with the murals. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's so many murals that. And it, I find it the same way with plaques. There's a plaque in one of our parks, Lytle Creek Park, that nobody has any idea how it got there. Or if there was no dedication. Our guys showed up one day, and there was a little plaque right over by one of the by the splash pad in memory of such and such, all set in concrete and everything. So, finding out what the history is behind them, how long they've been there. I know out in front of the flagpoles at City Hall, there's a rock there that had some sort of a memorial plaque on there, but it's been gone far longer than I've been here, so I have no idea what it was. I've heard it was a Vietnam memorial to Vietnam veterans. What was it? What did it look like? How do we go about registering those things and documenting what was put where? What do we have in place? I mean, kind of just see where we're at with those things.
Exactly.
There were several plaques down on the memorial walk for Route 66, and I know all of those, there was a couple of them that were stolen, but then there was, I think it was about six of them. The remainders were taken off and are now stored at the Public Works Yard because they couldn't protect them. So at least finding out where they're at. I could get with our facilities manager and find out where they keep them and maybe go down and get an inventory of what the city has in storage to protect it, and at least we know where it is and what happened to it. And then we could maybe look at potentially at some point going back, even if we have to go out and try to get, you know, funding from donations or get an organization like, I think that the Rotary Club placed a bench out there. Well, you know, maybe the local DAV or the local VFW would want to replace the plaque for the Vietnam veterans and do it in granite instead of in a precious metal, what appears to be a precious metal.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. Anything that's brass or that, they steal.
Sure.
And that's another thing. I know it's just, you know, probably chump change to the city, but if you're going to get $50 out of it, taking it to the scrapyard after knowing the history of it, you know, at least that money should go back to the city versus the trash. I mean, I don't know. I'm all about recycling. So. I mean, if you're going to get $100 off that plaque, hey, get $100 and put it in something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me.
Right.
But
fortunately,
they
don't
need to go into
that. The person who
stole
it.
Did not need to go into
that. Don't worry about it. Some of it's back to the city.
Any other announcements, concerns? And then agenda items for future meetings. And I had written down in regard to the grants, the mid-year review, and I know we need to actually do the whole grant. We need to look at the entire grant application and make some changes. We really need to come up with what we want on the mid-year review, which would be in February. And I will bring you what was used before, which means that it probably needs to be changed, but I will bring you that. And then I also want us to talk about visitation assignments to the grantees. They're supposed to identify when they have an event, say they have a performance of some kind, they're supposed to identify that there are city funds involved. Thank you to the city of San Bernardino, or thank you to the commission for the city of San Bernardino, that kind of thing. They're supposed to do that, and most of them do. But they're also supposed to be available for us to visit and just kind of, people will visit and see what's going on. And so we may, next time, we might want to talk about giving up some of those assignments for visitation, because we can't all visit all of them. So those were the two things I had for the agenda next time. And I think there are some items here that might go on the agenda.
Okay, I have a question on that one. So you said about grants. I have a question for Jim. So since, the grant for the Parks and Recs, so since it was, recommended to get, I know what they wanted, and then it was recommended to go down to 50, my thing is, okay, I see what it's being, the money's being used for, so now, okay, for instance, the Hernandez Center, the air conditioning unit went out. So now the kids are playing, in the hot gym and stuff. So who pays for that? Who funds the air conditioning and stuff for the kids?
That's funded through our CDBG program.
Oh, it's something else. Okay.
It's already being replaced.
Okay. So it's just something like
the contract's been awarded, but this grant money doesn't go towards any of that. The grant money, the $50,000 that was awarded in grant money, is specifically for the programming that's going to be held at the libraries.
Oh, okay.
We don't take this money that's grant funded, whether it be our own grant or anybody else's grant, and do anything outside of what the specific project of the grant that we identified in the grant application is for. So we have some programming at our community centers that's grant funded, and then we have an arts program, that mobile arts program that we're going to do at the branch libraries and at Feldheim. That's where this grant money.
Yeah, listen, I see what Parks does. I'm not complaining about it at all. You always see something Parks, which is good. So see, I'm not complaining about that at all. It's just because you have your budget, and then when it gets cut, and then it's okay, so now where do they have to pull out this money for fix the air conditioning?
That's called commingling funds, and you can't do that.
So the stuff like the air conditioners, the restrooms, the flooring, redoing the gym floors. Those are all what we call capital improvements.
Okay.
And you'll see those projects come up in our capital improvement plan. If you look in the budget and find the capital improvement plan, it's spread out over 5 years, and those types of projects are kind of salted in throughout that 5-year plan.
Oh, okay.
So with the air conditioning at Hernandez Community Center, it's been going out for several years now, but it's to the point now where it's pretty much non-functional. So that was a project that was expedited and moved up into this year so that we can get that taken care of. And there's stuff like that, needs like that throughout this city, to the hundreds of millions of dollars worth of need.
Well, yeah.
So priority, we, the council sets priorities, and that is presented to them. We as staff, our job is to identify the need. Council job is to then look at the priority and say, this is something we can move 5 years down the road, but this is something that needs to be taken care of right now. We present those types of plans to them, but the CIP is a 5-year plan that gets revisited annually, because you can't, there's some things that you can't predict. Like last year, the air conditioning went out at the 5th Street Senior Center. We ended up having to go back and get money to put a temporary air conditioning unit there for a month while the new units were being built, and then put the new units in. So, you can't, those things, you have to be able to have a little bit of flexibility, and that's why they go through that CIP. 1 year is approved, the next 4 years are recommended, and then they approve this year, but there might be a couple more projects that they have to put in that have come about in the last 12 months that may potentially kick a couple of projects
right
out of it.
That's
we reprioritize that stuff on a daily basis.
So as long as there's something there for them, it's all good.
I have a two-part question. One, since we just lost a very valuable member of the commission in Nick, any idea how long it takes to have another person appointed?
Yes, depends on that particular
council person. Which leads me to the second part of my question. What is or what has been the relationship between, let's say, the commission person and his or her council member? I know a lot of it is personal initiative and how close you want to be or how much of an advocate or whatever. So what? I don't know. How would show
up
with
your person? I think it depends on your council person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I call my council person frequently. Mm-hmm. but recently I've called him frequently. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of depends. Yeah, it does depend on your relationship with your council person. But I think that we all probably should be keeping our council persons more informed about what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Not even decisions we've made, but just, mm-hmm. We were talking about, so that you begin to get from them their attitude towards mm-hmm. something. And that really might have helped a little on what we just went through.
Exactly.
If we had had some of that mm-hmm. communication going on.
What about, over on the same subject, I see where Hazel is a mayor's appointment, okay, and there's one that isn't here, mm-hmm. okay, and we've had a change of mayors. What happens if we change of mayors? Does he automatically go out, or do we have, or who do we contact if we want him to stay?
Well, obviously, on the look on your guys' faces, there's something going on. So, I mean, can you just like spit it out, or what?
It's been something that's been debated. But the decision that was made and I was informed of is that Haziel stays in place until the new mayor appoints a new commissioner. So it's the mayor's choice whether he wants to have Haziel carry out the term of the mayor's, term of service, or if he wants to appoint somebody else. The mayor has two appointees, actually.
That's what I was going to say. There's two right there.
So if he wants to appoint two other people, then that would mean that Haziel would know.
So we could contact our councilman and put in a word. Like we said, I personally would like to have him stay. And
yes.
I don't mind talking to Ted. I did him a favor by complaining here. Now it's time
right.
Payback. But yeah, that's the way I see it.
Between you and your council member.
And that's, if you just wanted to say... Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Talk to Ted and ask
something
him.
Something positive. That's your.
And let him talk to the mayor.
That's your. Yeah.
Well, from what I saw, something that there's going to be a third ward coming in, Mr. Figueroa.
And that's up to Mr. Figueroa. Mr. Figueroa has been installed as council person. He's had three meetings, maybe. I don't know. And so, he needs to appoint someone.
I thought he did already.
He probably has. A lot on his
I think
list.
His appointment is going to council tonight.
Okay.
I think that's who it was. Jody.
Jody
Buckley is on the
agenda
from Wednesday.
I don't want to ask a lot of questions, but
I'm
new at this thing, and I hate to be in anything that I don't know what I'm doing.
We're all asking.
You're fine.
So that's why I say I have I've been involved with a lot of things with the city in the past, and if I know what we're doing, I don't mind doing it. But, if I'm sitting here just, what am I doing here? I got better things to do.
I think if you feel strongly about our current commissioner people and that you know that there are some appointments, that we really need to have a full complement of commissioners. We could have 9 commissioners, and we're a long way from that. And so if you have some... talk to your councilperson about that. Talk to the mayor about that. I mean, it needs to happen because we're struggling every month.
And
like
we can't have constant turnover because what's happened this past year.
No,
I'd like to see us keep a nice commission, and if everybody can stay where we're at least for a year or two to get know what
something
we're doing,
yeah,
and then I'd be a lot more comfortable. And I will be probably by the end of this year, because I learned a lot in the last 6 months, believe me. But
no, you're right.
We still talk about stuff here, and I'm trying to figure out what am I doing.
I agree.
And I think you guys all feel the same way, no, especially the new ones.
Okay, so, is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting at 5:25. All those in favor?
Aye.
Let's, I adjourn the meeting at 5:25.
All those opposed can stay here. All those opposed can stay here.
All opposed can stay here. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
All right.
I am doing a...
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you for a very good meeting.
Yeah.
Good meeting.
I'm doing the alumni, so it's...
Start nailing some things.
Now we've got those grants out of the way.
Yeah, we were paralyzed by that.